This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I, we reminisce about our favorite events, our favorite beer, and our favorite places that we made it to in 2016. This might be our last episode before the new year. Still trying to work it out, so we might be back next week.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And this is our last episode before Christmas.
Yeah, it is, man.
Yeah, that's kind of
how are you on Christmas, man? Are you fired up about Christmas?
It's like a week too early for me right now. I need like one more week.
Okay. Yeah.
I still have to do some shopping this week.
That's true. There's a lot of pressure for Christmas. This is why Thanksgiving is my jam. You know? Christmas not so much.
It has a lot of the same things without the pressure of buying stuff. You get to eat, see your family, and drink.
I'll be glad when Christmas is over.
Oh, damn. Man, Scrooge here. Jeez.
And the songs, there's only like a handful of good songs, but
I love them all.
Oh my God. We're like the exact opposite. Like, I'm all for winter events, and you hate winter events.
I just don't want to be cold.
I'm all about like,
I'll take a winter event if I can be warm.
I'm all about, let's get past this Christmas thing. You're all like, no, let's just get
slow
into
it.
Slow it down.
Slow it down. Ease into it.
Oh man.
So we're drinking, easing into this beer here. Yeah. We got the Milkstachio.
Milkstachio,
right?
Yeah. So this is a collab between Hop Butcher for the World and Dry Hop.
So who's Hop Butcher for the World?
Hop Butcher for the World is formerly the South Loop Brewing Company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is the second year they made this beer. I don't know if they canned it last year. Draft Magazine named it one of their 50 best beers of 2016.
Damn, okay.
Yes, and they just had a launch party for this last week at Dry Hop.
I don't know, one of the best beers of 2016?
Yeah.
That's bold. We're going to talk about some favorites here in a minute, but...
Yeah, for sure.
It's good, but I don't know. I wouldn't say, like, favorite.
Yeah, it makes you want to look at the list and see what else is on the list, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this beer is fine. This beer is good.
Yeah,
right?
I think the pistachio flavor, it makes you like, it just makes you think a little bit about it. You're like, what is that? But I wish it was like a little creamier.
Yeah, a little creamier, a little nuttier. But you know, maybe it's just us. We were talking about Daisy Cutter last week, right? And how it's the same beer, but we don't pick up on notes like we used to.
Right, that's true.
I had a Death by Coconut this week. From it's a dry Irish porter from Oscar Blues.
Yeah,
and yeah, it was the same way. Like, I don't know if it's me. Maybe I'm just expecting more bold. If they reference something, maybe I'm expecting it to be over the top. And it's just all in my head, you know. Then it's just there. I don't know.
If you have a nut allergy, can you not drink this beer?
That's a fair question.
It's natural pistachio flavor. I don't know. That seems like something that should be on the can, right?
People do have nut allergies, and they freak out. Like, their tongue gets all heavy and tingly.
Yeah.
That's like a real thing, yeah.
Because this would be now in a glass. What if I didn't clean out this glass very well? Someone used it for water.
Now they got to go to the ER, maybe get one of those EpiPens.
Damn.
I got an EpiPen in my house, by the way.
Oh,
I'm not
really
sure why.
I don't know.
What am I doing with an EpiPen?
Just in case. Emergency nut allergy.
I don't know where this came from.
All right, so we're going to sip on this. Maybe it'll warm up on us. Maybe it needs to... Just sit with us for a minute, and then we'll be like, yeah, this is where it's at.
No, for sure.
So I think before we get in this episode, it's Christmas. I think I said we'll do something special on this episode.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some of our favorites from this year, right?
Yeah. We talked about, like, well, how do we dial it in, right? Like, what categories do we talk about? So we said most memorable events, places that we would recommend for people who are visiting Chicago.
Okay.
And then, of course, beers. Some of our most memorable beers, right? So we can start anywhere in those spaces, Brad, right there.
Let's start with our, like, most memorable / favorite events of 2016, because that's what the show is. We talk about the events we go to and the ones you should be going to.
Yeah, it's event-centric for sure. It used to be just a summertime thing, these events. Now it's all over the place. First thing that comes to mind, I don't know particular order, but, you know, we were talking about being on that boat with Brewfest partners. You know, the audacity of just having a boat series for the first time ever, a boat series dedicated to beer, local beer. You know,
I think that was one of my favorite. You had went on the first one, right, of the series.
Yeah.
And I was on the second one.
Yeah, because there was one for Chicago brewers, and then there's one for, like, suburban brewers.
North Side and...
Yeah. And then there was a Belgian one, which had Belgian waffles and proper glassware. I don't know where I was for that one.
Damn.
But, yeah, that sounded good, too.
We got invited on the wrong booze cruise.
We should have declined that one. If we had to pick three, two out of three, we should have picked the Belgian as one of them.
Yeah, I think that was a great event. The location, just fun being on the water. I think the beer selection was kind of... so-so.
Yeah.
And they ran out of a lot of stuff very quickly.
Yeah, I think people gravitated towards some things more than others. So I'm looking for them to just improve on that concept. You know, it was the first time, you know, there's going to be hiccups. But I like the idea of having a repeatable series on the water.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you consider, like, Navy Pier is the top tourist attraction in Chicago. You know, we're such an outdoor city. When it's summertime, we party hard because it most of the time it's, you know, sucks like it does today.
Another one that comes to mind for me that's coming up again here soon is the Soldier Field event.
Yeah.
The Chicago Ale Fest, it's called, I believe.
You're talking about the one at
On Soldier Field.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Chicago Beer Classic.
Beer Classic.
Yeah, Chicago Beer Classic. Soldier Field was surprisingly fun. I mean, because, like, there were places in Soldier Field that I didn't know existed. Like, I wouldn't go on a regular day, like these, you know, these VIP lounges. You know, or just having an opportunity to get super close to the field, you know. And then I like the indoor-outdoor play. You know how, like, the concourse would be kind of indoor-y, and you can step out. I dig that.
Yeah, and the beer selection there was really good. You had a lot of new breweries. You had breweries bringing unique stuff, like a VIP lounge from Lagunitas. So it was cool.
Yeah. That's where I saw the Half Acre and Davin from Memphis.
Weisaker.
Yeah, the Half Acre Weisaker combo collab. Okay. The Psychedelic Pilgrim. That's where I had that for the first time. Yeah, some Jolly Pumpkin sour ales going down in the VIP section at Soldier Field. Yeah, that's cool. I think I really like getting out. I like getting over to Half Acre. I know it wasn't really an event, but I just
going there.
I mean, because they don't.
Oh, you did that Wiseacre event, though.
Oh yeah, the Wiseacre pub crawl.
Yeah,
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I think the pub crawl concept. If you can do something like go through West Loop and try beers at different stops, all from the same brewery, that was pretty unique.
Yeah.
I dug that. And then us hanging out at Half Acre and seeing their new space and listening to their story. He was saying how Daisy Cutter is like the third beer they ever made.
Yeah.
You know, how cool is that? And that ends up being like their big home run, you know?
Yeah. I'm interested to see how the new Half Acre brewery shakes up in 2017. See what comes about with that.
Yeah, I like some of the spaces we visited. We both went down to Bader Brow's new space. Mm-hmm. I love what they're doing down there as far as just like aesthetics. Like as soon as you walk in, you know, it's like an ode to the space that it used to be. And then like just this really open air dedication to art and crushable beers.
Okay.
Right? Like I really dug that too. So
I probably wouldn't put Phobab up there as like a favorite this year.
Seeing everybody is always one of my favorite things, you know? I wonder if we take the greatness of Phobab for granted, right? You know, because every time you run into somebody, they're all like, man, you know, let me share with you what my favorite beer here is, right? But yeah, I mean, sometimes it can get lost, like, you know, the fun can get lost in the fact that you've never heard of these beers before. I guess it's all about perspective, right?
Yeah. Oh, another one. I just thinking of Phobab. Another one that came to mind that I know is coming up again is the Brewpub Shootout.
You know, I've never been to that event.
That was this past year was my first time going.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. The theme was tacos. If you listen to that episode way back when we talked about it, so there's a lot of tacos.
Yeah, and they change. It's like a new theme every year.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I really dug. I got a chance to hang out at Goose Island on at Fulton in that tap room for the Bourbon County 2016 tasting.
Okay.
And that happened to be the same night that the Cubs were playing in their first World Series game in, like, I don't know, 70-something years, right?
Oh, so that was game one?
That was game one of the World Series in Cleveland, okay. Yeah. So it was like a Tuesday night, and that was memorable to say the least. I mean, because, you know, I still haven't
they
had.
They won that one, too, right?
Yeah, so. I still haven't had those beers. And, yeah, that was a World Series. 108 years?
Yeah.
You know, that was very memorable for 2016.
Yeah. That's cool, yeah. I'm sure some events were, like, missing, but those were, like, the ones I felt like came to mind.
Yeah, when you think about it, you know, I went to Dark Lord Day. I thought Dark Lord Day was interesting just because for the first time they ran it through the new distillery.
Okay.
So the bottle pickup ran through the distillery. Well, it started in the distillery. You end up and you exited through the brew house.
Nice. Okay.
So, yeah, so they're slowly starting to take over that whole block. 18th Street got a new location this year.
Yeah.
They just had their third anniversary party. That happened really quick. 3 years already.
Crazy.
For 18th Street. Yeah, I was actually down there this weekend at 18th Street. Got a barrel-aged chili pepper Hunter.
Hunter.
Which is like their flagship
milk stout.
Yeah, that was fantastic. It wasn't shy on the pepper or the booze at all. So
that's cool. That's fun, though.
Yeah, so I really dug that. But yeah, when you think about Northwest Indiana, they're only 6 miles from Three Floyds. It was a nice little 1-2 combo.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What else? There's got to be something else.
Oh, one more event?
One more thing that jumped out at you this year.
Oh, my God.
So, because we started the year, we ended last year with Jonathan Cutler from Peace.
Yeah.
Right? And then that's where our 2016 basically started, right? So, you got Brewer's Eve, then January, February, right? So, what was that, like Cider Summit and like – Yeah, Cider Summit kicks off the year in the cold months.
That's true, yeah.
And then Chicago Craft Beer Week. You know, closing ceremonies to Chicago Craft Beer Week, if I had to pick one, was Wells Park. That was pretty much a perfect day for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lincoln Square.
Bug, I guess I felt like maybe Chicago Craft Beer Week this year. I don't know. It wasn't as like hyped up.
A little subdued.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the angle is. Usually there's like there's a theme every year.
Yeah, so that's gonna be interesting to see how that changes with new management and as part of the guild and what happens. Yeah. And the city's so big and there's lots of breweries now, so it's hard to make this like craft beer week a thing and a thing that people remember too. Because look, I forgot about that week completely. Might have been because I was drinking that week a lot.
It all. With the amount of events coming on, right? And we talked about this because I went to this this Japanese beer dinner at a Japanese steakhouse, right? And they were talking about how beer events and beer dinners in particular are kind of homogenized, right? Like they all kind of feel the same and look the same. And yeah, I wonder in 2017 if there's a way to differentiate that. I think all the stuff we're naming is primarily at venues or backdrops that we haven't experienced before.
Right. A boat. Can we do one like skydiving?
You know what I mean? Like at Soldier Field, right? Like, so I wonder if we'll see a shift in that because, yeah, it becomes, I don't know, maybe it's just us again, but
yeah,
it's hard to remember what the hell
it's
happened.
Easy to do one at, you know, like a Union Station or, in a park.
Yeah.
Like, here's all the breweries. They're all lined up in a big circle. Go at it.
I did like how one of those events moved to the Field Museum, though.
Okay.
It was the one that used to be one of them that occupied the great room at Union Station moved to the Field Museum.
And then was there even a Night of the Living Ales this year?
I don't think if they found a venue. I think it was at not Kaiser Tiger, but
Bottom Lounge again.
Bottom Lounge.
Because that's here early in the new year.
Yeah.
So maybe I didn't go this year, so maybe I'll have to go this coming year.
I like the unfiltered Pilsner Urquell events. You know, this year was at Kaiser Tiger. Last year was at Kaiser Tiger as well.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when a guy comes over from the Czech Republic and compares our drinking scene to theirs, that kind of thing. That was fun.
Yeah. All right. So then if anyone has family coming in from out of town, what are like the places you went to this year that you're like, go, or like a standard that you're like, this place you should definitely check out? Of course.
Wow, for sure. Yeah, there's always the short list, right? And we talk about the short list. It always usually includes, let's see.
Half acre.
Yeah.
Piece,
or
yeah, Haymarket.
Exactly. And on the bar side, maybe like a little bit of a Hop Leaf or a Maria's, uh-huh, right? Or a Map Room. You know, those are the standards. That moody tongue space is super sexy, man.
It is really nice, yeah.
I dig that space. I dig the Austrian, you know, glassware. I like how they go from extremes, you know, from the, you know, the super delicate fucking grapefruit pills to the, you know, what is it, the brandied barrel-aged fucking, you know, whatever the fuck, right?
I would have to say Rick Bayless's new place.
That's a good one. Cruz Blanca.
Cruz Blanca. There's a restaurant next door that's really gotten popular now. But
yeah, Lena Brava.
But yeah. Cruz Blanca is not that busy for the most part.
Yeah.
And you can get in there, get food, a lot of beers, and it's been pretty good.
I tell you something. I'm glad you brought that up because I went there for their Oktoberfest, right? And then, man, it was a party and a half. It was this hybrid, like, you know, Latin-inspired Oktoberfest. Like, you know, they got the Marzen on draft, but then they got, like, this, you know, this Spanish band playing. Okay. And, you know, all the things you like in an Oktoberfest party. It was a party and a half, man. It was just so fun and so boisterous and just really, nice, really well done. Really well done.
Yeah, I guess that would be my pick because if you're over by Haymarket, you could do the two very easily with family that maybe doesn't like to walk either. Like, they're close enough that they're gonna be like, how far is this? But then you're there and they're like, okay.
Yeah, and then you can I think the two most concentrated areas for breweries are probably a West Loop. You know, there's like seven breweries over there from Goose Island all the way to Haymarket, right? There's like seven over there. And then you know, and Brewery Corridor, you know, where Dovetail and Band of Bohemia. I would say if you haven't been to Band of Bohemia, get some cocktails, you know, try their beers. You can have a proper, you know, pinkies up, you know, well-done dinner for, you know, for a fee, right? I mean, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. That's some good. There's so many good places. Probably a couple of our favorites there.
Yeah.
Any beers that jump out from this past year? I know that's a tall order, because like, what do you remember? And I think one that I remember from the year is the Cruz Blanca, the Tacayo.
Yeah,
I just kind of dig that beer. It's kind of nice. I don't know.
No, it's solid. It reminded me a little bit of you know, the wit that that Dos Bros makes. I think.
Yeah, or like a light Allagash White.
Yeah, it was somewhere between. It was definitely, I'll say this, it's definitely more Allagash White than it is Blue Moon, right? Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. That was really good. I don't know, man. Double Boogie from Mars is one of my favorites.
Okay.
I really dig that beer.
Not Lumpin' Boogie.
Not the Lumpin' Boogie, which is like a, you know, the tame little brother of the Jungle Boogie.
You got to boogie down.
You know, it's definitely not. There's a lot less boogie in that one. Okay. You know? But the Double Boogie from Mars was a win for sure. You know, Claire's Thirsty Ale, you know, I think it gets overlooked, you know, in a world of like, you know, fruited stouts. You know, like last year Goose had the Regal Rye, which was like, you know, brandy cherries and blueberries and all this other shit and sea salt in one of their variants for BCS.
Uh-huh.
But Claire's Thirsty Ale, which is like basically a raspberry barrel-aged stout, I think goes toe-to-toe with that Regal Rye any day of the week.
Yeah,
and then they did something really cool where they and you'll see it again this year, where they'll give you like the little howler or whatever you call the 32-ounce growler. Yeah. They'll give you that for like a super low price.
Oh, cool.
Because that's Haymarket's thing, you know, like affordable, awesome beer for you know, for the working class, you know.
I haven't been to Haymarket in a while. I got to get over there. Maybe weekend of my birthday, end of the year, New Year's kind of stuff.
Yeah, and January 12th is their anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it really goes down over there. I think very... easy to overlook the beers that they make over there, but I like everything except for the 7.5% smoke beer they did with fucking Kaiser Tiger.
Okay.
way too much for me.
Let's see. Any other beers jumping out at me that I remember quite a bit? You mentioned Bader Brau earlier. Bader Brau, when we were there, we stopped in before we went on a boat. They had a fruit beer.
Yeah. Was it Red Velvet?
No. It was not red velvet. I feel like it had papaya in it.
I know they got like an unfiltered, like a mimosa inspired.
Yeah, it was a mimosa beer. But yeah, they said that it was too chunky in the cans. They couldn't can it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's like super hazy.
It's thick. It's like juice.
It looks like OJ. Yeah.
That thing was awesome.
You know,
you're out for like a hot day going like on a boat.
It's it's like it's good drinking. Well, speaking of that area, we had the Publican, their collaboration with Motorola.
Okay.
Was like this this Rogan beer. It was basically like a smoked rye wheat lager, dark lager. Nice. I really dug that this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't. So many beers. It's hard to remember. I remember having some great stuff from Scratch, as always, at like at Bug, something like that.
Yeah, they've it's the only time where I remember seeing Randy Mosier at Great American Beer Fest. He didn't say hi or anything. He was like, Nick, you have to try this beer. You know, and it ended up being
a Scratch beer.
Ended up being one of the Scratch beers.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that whole aspect of like foraging, you know, and like just coming up with new flavors on a whim, and you know, yeah. It's kind of an ode to like you know, the way beer was before hops was cultivated. But then, like, if you know, some of these saisons, I think that's where that whole style started, where it's like, hey, we got this farm, and whatever's on the farm is going into beer at the end of the season.
We're going to make something out of this.
You know what I mean? It's kind of an ode to that, which I kind of dig. And then they are true to, you know, this is, they are from another time and place, these guys.
Right.
It's pretty wild what they got going on.
Yeah. I don't know. I think any other beers jump out at you?
Yeah, Quattro from Three Floyds.
Okay.
Might have been probably the best IPA I've had all year. They got a thing with these hops, man. It's like, cause you know, a lot of stuff's dialing in on the like you know, the kind of orangey, kind of sweet, kind of citrusy, you know, piney side. But they got this weird New Zealand thing going that was just like,
perfect.
Man, I need to find more words and find that beer and post it to the page.
Nice. So I think that's pretty good. That's usually about how long our shows usually are here, and we're
nice.
We still got other stuff to talk about. But those are some of our favorites. I think it's just fun to reminisce over some beers, and you know, we talk through these every week, where it's kind of like, we did this, move on, next, move on. So
that's true. Yeah. Yeah. It's good to slow it down and look back on it. So let's see. Chicago Craft Beer Week will be here before we know it.
Yeah.
You know, Cider Summit first. Mm-hmm. Chicago Craft Beer Week after that.
Yeah. Did you you hit up anything this past week that?
I got out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to
notable.
Yeah, I stopped by three breweries: 18th Street, Three Floyds, and Forbidden Root.
Okay.
Yeah. So we talked about 18th Street. Three Floyds has a barrel aged coffee ale on with Dark Matter called Crack the Sky. So I guess Crack the Sky sounds like it's like a Mastodon album. So it's got that in it.
Okay,
that was pretty good. You know, I hung out probably the longest at Forbidden Root. Yeah, where BJ was there, and we went through like all, you know, they got 16 beers on tap. First of all, I didn't know that.
That's a lot of beers.
And then the core four beers were not on tap because they struck a new distribution deal.
Oh, where?
Which they're going to be Cavalier. It's in Florida.
Oh.
So it's kind of, they're going to scatter through the whole state of Florida, which is kind of smart when we get to the news. We talk about like how things are shifting, right?
Okay.
Yeah, because like so he had the Rosé Sparkling Ale is the next one that's going to be in Bombers from Forbidden Root. But yeah, the other one that jumped out was the Snooze Juice, which was like that juicy New England style IPA, then a German chocolate cake inspired beer. However you say no crumbs in German, that's the name of the beer.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay. So. No crumbs.
Yeah, no crumbs.
Yeah. I'll have to make it over there, not far from my house.
Yeah.
And I have to try the burger that everyone raves about all the time.
Oh, dude, they hit you with like white cheddar and like jardinier.
Yeah.
Okay. It's solid. Yeah. What else did I do? So then I went to a couple of cocktail events, man. Okay. So, you know, like the events are slowing down. You know, the usual week is, you know, you get a call or an email. You say, hey, Brad, Nick, come party with us.
Yeah.
But it's slowing down, man. It's slowing down. But the cocktail.
I don't get those calls.
Like, you get those calls. But so I went to a couple whiskey events, man, because they were the ones that were partying this week.
Okay.
There's an English naval strength rum called Banks that got picked up by Bacardi.
Okay.
So they celebrated that achievement by having this party at a space called the Herborium, which is it's a party space above Au Cheval.
Oh. Okay.
Across street from Haymarket. Right. I'm like, wait a second.
Did not know that.
How long has this place been here? Dude, yeah. I'm over here all the time. You know. So there was that. And then I went to what else did I go to? I went to a Canadian whiskey event for Crown Royal.
Damn, okay.
Crown Royal is a little weird to be going to, right? This was the vanilla Crown Royal.
Yeah.
Hashtag vanilla so good, Brad.
Crown Royal's in the little purple sack, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I do like the little satchel. Yeah, and I feel weird talking about these events, you know, because it's like, oh, it's a Crown Royal event. You know, it's kind of weird. There's a place called Celeste in River North. But I figure if we can, like, talk about something we didn't know about Crown Royal in these rooms, then I guess it's okay. Apparently, Crown Royal is, they made a whiskey because the King and Queen of England in 1939 did a tour of Canada. I was about to say Canada. They did a tour of Canada in 1939. So an entrepreneur got together 50 of his favorite Canadian whiskeys and blended them.
Oh, okay.
And that became Crown Royal. So.
Yeah, isn't Canadian whiskey is usually blended whiskey.
Yeah,
right?
Canadian whiskey is blended whiskey. And then also, unlike American whiskey, you can use those barrels as many times as you want. American whiskey calls for it to be used new American oak, charred American oak, and only once. After that, it gets sent to Canada for their Canadian whiskey, and then for scotch and other stuff, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they're really big on blending up there.
Yeah, I learned that about mezcal over the weekend, too. Like, you have to be in, like, the region or the area or use that part to call it mezcal, even though you can make it anywhere, so they have to call it something else. It's kind of like champagne.
Oh, yeah, because champagne, like, technically has to be, like,
it's
in
like
the
sparkling wine anywhere else.
Exactly. So yeah, exactly.
Mezcal has kind of the same rule, and I didn't know that. That's
I like crazy. I like mezcal. There's a really good mezcal bar in Logan, right next to Johnny's Grill.
Oh, okay.
All their drinks are named after, like, hip-hop songs.
Oh, nice.
It's really cool. What's the name of this place?
I don't know.
It's going to come to me. Yeah. Oh, so the English Naval Rum. It was weird because it was a punch event, you know. And the guy who started Lost Lake, Paul McGee, I believe his name is. He was in attendance, and they were talking about, you know, this cocktail renaissance from, like, you know, 2007 versus now, right? And like how they're really, like, you know, they're really trying to inspire people to make these drinks at home, you know. And that was the whole idea for having this punch event. So instead of, like, you know. And then, you know, the whole, like, hey, let's go back to being communal and instead of, you know, kind of pinkies up and, you know, formal kind of with this cocktail thing is kind of jumping the shark. Let's just get back to having to be a communal occasion, right?
All right.
But then also you can make punches at home, and they're kind of saying, hey, you know, now everyone's got access to, you know, the glassware and the punch bowls and the cups. Like, why don't we just start making these things ourselves and then encourage you to go make it at your party?
I got to say, nobody wants to make these at home. Right?
I know.
Have like this booze cabinet, and I think it was last year around this time.
Around this time, yeah.
You were like making stuff at home. It sucks, right? You need so much stuff.
There's a lot of moves, especially if you're trying to make, you know.
And you're like, oh, I don't have this one bitter that comes in a giant bottle, and I need it like an ounce for this cocktail, and then I didn't make it at all again this year. It sucks making cocktails at home. It's the worst.
I'd prefer to go to a place like Bad Intentions. Speaking of best events, you know, Bad Intentions, they had a launch for a Michigan cider from Virtue, and they had a backyard party. And it was, you know, you could drink the Virtue, or you could make it in these Bad Intentions cocktails. And that scene was way cooler than anything I've done, all to your point, all year at home. So.
Yeah.
So.
And you make them at home, they suck too. That's the like worst.
They're not as good because you're kind of experimenting. You're kind of lit a little bit. You're like, oh well, I'll just throw a little bit of that in there. Yeah. I'll just throw this off color beer in it, and then you're like, oh,
that wasn't good. All right.
Not only does it suck, but now I'm down to not have any more beer. Yeah. So.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I went to for events, man. All
right. Anything on the calendar this week that we should be checking out? I know Brew Year's Eve is coming up. New Year's is like a week and a half.
Yeah.
And they're going to have some great beers. I think they'll have this beer, the Mustachio.
Yeah, that's coming up. Low Res is making their debut at Kaiser Tiger. I don't know when is it going to end, Brad. So Low Res is apparently a new Chicago brewery. They got two beers coming on.
I like the name.
Yeah, Low Res sounds cool. I don't know anything about them.
No, okay.
But that's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Two beers at Kaiser Tiger.
So Wednesday night at Kaiser Tiger. Cool.
Yeah. So, but yeah, other than that and Brewer's Eve, man, that's kind of it for events, man.
Well, yeah, it is Christmas this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of stuff coming up in January, including the Chicago Ale Fest Winter Edition and, of course, Haymarket's 6th birthday party, which usually includes a classic lineup from those guys. Yeah. They've been waiting. They've been sitting on stuff all year to throw down at this party. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, before we get out of here, there was some news.
Yeah.
I think, last night it kind of broke.
Yeah.
That was probably the biggest news. I don't know if you have other news,
No, too. There is news, yeah. Let's start with it of something we overlooked a couple weeks ago. You know, as part of the SAB Miller merger, AB is selling off some of Miller's brands, right?
Yeah.
So they sold 5 of their Eastern European brands to Japan's Asahi for $7 billion.
Okay.
One of those brands was Pilsner Urquell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Tyskie was the only other one I recognized off the list of 5.
Oh, yeah. I remember. I
Tyskie
know
and Pilsner Urquell. You see those all the time. Also, New Holland signed a partnership deal with PBR, man, with Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yeah.
Like to what?
Apparently, like they remain independent companies, and this deal just allows wholesalers of Pabst Blue Ribbon to now sell New Holland and all those PBR accounts.
Okay.
Yeah. So it gives them. It's kind of like they're kind of mimicking what Goose does with their high. They call it the high end beer division, where like they got these. You know, they roll in there with PBR. That's the big monster. But then they got these other beers that they'll sell you as well. It sounds like that, but without an ownership exchange.
Yet.
Right. Yeah. So those two things happen, and then two beers that we featured on the show. From a local Chicago brewery.
So Ale Syndicate and Arcade Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Shutting down for the time being.
What kind of shit is this, man?
So the story broke that the space Ale Syndicate was running, which was made to be a brewery that other breweries could come and kind of maybe have their own tank and kind of like a co-working brew space.
Alternate proprietorship. Yeah, where everybody uses the equipment.
Right.
Yeah.
This didn't work out.
Yeah, and this is twice now we've seen this, because, you know, Slapshot was like that.
Okay.
Because Rude Hippo and Microphone were both brewing at Slapshot, and before you know it, Slapshot just throws, they're like, we're out. We're done. We are done with this. We are shutting down.
Damn.
So this concept, I don't know. This concept doesn't seem to be working.
No, so the way the story is right now, bills were not getting paid. Gas was shut off at some point, but
this is a wild story, man.
I was saying, like, your gas doesn't get shut off for at least 3 months. I don't care if you're a business or a home. Like, it takes like 3 to 4 months of not paying your bill for them to do anything about it. So if your gas gets shut off, hey, something is really up.
They're saying the gas was cut off 2 months ago. They're saying that Ale Syndicate, and these are good guys, these Ale Syndicate guys. They're super cool. Yeah, they're saying that they didn't even have their license to brew beer expired back in April. So that's like, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Or even more? Yeah. So, and then they're asking the guys about it, and the guys are just kind of like, well, you know, that wasn't really my part of the operation. I don't really know. It just all sounds really messy.
That's crazy. Ale Syndicate, you were like a two-man crew. You and your brother, this was your thing. Like, whose job is it to pay the bills?
And then, like, this isn't like a brew that's cranking out, you know, 100,000 barrels a year.
It's not that big.
It's not that big, man. Like, what are you talking? What do you mean you don't know, man? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they meant to get quoted like that, but that's a rough quote right there. Yeah. But
it's awful for Arcade, who they were just there brewing at the space. This was their home. They didn't have a lot of say probably in like what's happening in the space and you know what's going on. So they're just like, we're here. But I thought Arcade was having their own space opening up. I thought they were opening up something on Western.
Yeah. I was under the impression they were moving somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they just came out with the It's the series where the guy from the Walking Dead, the graphic novelist, he draws Six Pack Stories.
Yeah.
You know, and we were just talking to these guys via email, and they were like, hey, you know, Six Pack Stories is out again. You know, every time you every bottle is a different piece of the story, yeah, that kind of thing. And what I liked about Arcade was like, you know, the when they throw their events, you keep the bottle cap, and then you take it to a party, and then boom, the bottle cap becomes like you can redeem a beer, that kind of thing.
Oh, you can. Oh,
yeah, it was a cool concept. And then El Syndicate, man. You know, El Syndicate had one of their beers, the
was it Richie?
Richie's the porter.
Yeah.
But then they had whatever the pale ale was.
Sunday Session?
Sunday Session. It was a variant of Sunday Session was a flagship beer at Harry Carey's. Harry Carey's house beer. Harry Carey's Italian Steakhouse, man. Downtown Chicago. That was their beer. They had a good rhythm, man.
The story is so nuts. Like,
they went from being, what was it, New Chicago Brewing at the plant out on the South Side. They end up leaving, and then they rebooted, changed the name. You know, it seemed like they were rolling. They went to Logan Square. They got that space. And then you hear this story, and you're like, whoa.
And the brothers, they had another brewery in California that they started and sold, or I don't know the backstory on that, but then they moved back here to open up this brewery, and I dug their beers. They were pretty good beers.
I thought their beers were good. We went to that party at the library, which was downtown. So there's this office building across the street from City Hall, and the very top floor is like a party space called the library. And I guess a lot of lawyers go up there, and like, you know, it's a functional library, but people throw booze events up there all the time. They got like 10 beers on tap, and El Syndicate took over the whole top floor. Yeah. So this was kind of, for me, this was a surprise. I think Brad knew all along. Brad talked about it last week, kind of hinted like, yo, I think they might be done.
I was just kind of saying that I haven't been seeing their beers as much. They haven't been talking about their beers as much. Like, there was just like this lull in what was happening with El Syndicate, and they had like their three beers and that was it. Like, that's not how you run a brewery today. It's like, we do three beers, this is all we got. Every week we just keep brewing these. That's not keeping your craft beer fan there.
Yeah, I think part of the issue you would hear people kind of talk about is like, hey, they didn't really have a tap room either. You know, it wasn't really a destination. And apparently, you know, and you know how tap rooms are, man. You know, you can, you know, if it costs you a quarter to fill a glass, you could sell that beer for like $6. I mean, you know, math's probably off a little bit, but there's a much higher return on beer that you're selling on premise versus, you know, packaging and shipping and
and then you can tell people about that beer right there, like, hey, this is our new porter, let me know, and you get instant feedback. Oh, that guy didn't like it, you know, it's not creamy enough for him. Okay, too hoppy.
You're right. Founders, they built their whole Backstage series, which is now their like reserve series, if you will. They built that entire series based off beers that were successful in their tap room.
Yeah.
But you know, I guess they just had other stuff going on. You know,
one of the brothers joined like a board of like small businesses or something, like became, so I think he had stepped away recently too. So yeah.
That sucks, man, because we know those guys over there. So
no, you know, they're very nice guys. So
yeah,
crazy.
And their beer was good, which is, you know, unlike other issues in town where...
Like Finch.
Like folks have to leave. You know, people really dug these beers.
Right, Finch beer we didn't really like, but El Syndicate beers we did like.
Yeah, so, man, it's a firm reminder that shit is very real in this town. When it comes to like the sale of beer, right? It's you can't name a more competitive, you know, market than Chicago. I don't think, not in this country.
Right. Yeah.
The only other place that seems to have figured this out with regards to the alternating proprietorship thing is probably not Atlas, Burnt City.
Okay.
We've had on the show. They so it sounds like
not a good sign.
I don't know. Around the Bend, according to the story, Around the Bend is going to move in with them.
Right.
So we'll see. And I know Five Rabbit does a lot of contract brewing stuff as well. Yeah. In fact, El Syndicate was at Five Rabbit briefly before they got their own space.
All right. So I don't want to like jinx anything or like who's next?
Like who's next? Next? It's like Candyman or something, like the Grim Reaper or something.
Who's next? Who's coming next? Who's going to get shut down? Who's going to go out of business?
I don't know, man. This sucks, man. I don't know.
I'm going to throw this wild one in here.
Here we go. Brad's like...
Five Rabbit.
Oh, man. You think Fry Rabbit's going to bite the bullet?
Yeah.
You know what I'm noticing? If you... We talked about Finch last week, and, you know, we kind of boo-hooed them for, like, not focusing on Chicago and skipping town pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
Right? But they did land in 26 states, and they did extend them from 1 year to, like, I don't know, maybe 5 years of existence.
Okay.
Going out of town. Argus, out on the south side, we kind of joked that they're, like, the Finch of the south side. Yeah. And, you know, it sucks, just as a side note, like, even when the beer, like, a lot of people don't know that Argus, they won a silver medal at Great American Beer Fest this year, you know. But a lot of people don't know because it seems like
their beer is not in Chicago.
Right. So they're focusing on Florida. You know, they've got some distribution deals in Florida, and they're really trying to make that expansion. And unless you're doing that,
like, why are you brewing in Chicago? It's expensive to brew in Chicago. Like, that makes no sense, right?
I mean, because it's a drinking town, and you see the opportunity. That's why you do it.
There's no Argus beer in Chicago.
Yeah, I can't tell you last time I went to a bar.
You might be able to go to, like, Jewel.
You might see bottles at Jewel.
Yeah. That's it.
You might see bottles at, like, Tumas Tap or something. But on draft, you're not seeing Argus at all.
No.
So I think that's the play. So unless, I don't know, if folks are going out of town to keep their thing rolling, they'll be around. Okay. But if they're just in Chicago, it is a serious market, man.
You don't have any predictions? You don't want to throw anyone on the bus?
Who do I have predictions? I say the next, who makes Windy City Wheat?
Someone's going to email you after this. And
what,
like,
who the fuck do you think you are? No, whoever makes Windy City Wheat, those
isn't
guys.
Isn't that like Chicago Brewing?
Chicago Brewing Company. They're the next ones.
I don't even think that's around anymore.
All right, the Big Hurt Brewery. I'm not good at these things. I don't know. So who can we name so far, you know, in the craft beer revolution, right? We've had Four Paws. They made their exit. Then we had Slapshot make their exit. Now it sounds like now it sounds like Finch and El Syndicate are added to that list. You know, and these are all different reasons why they shut down.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, we're seeing that, you know, as popular as it is, sometimes it doesn't work out. And, you know, that's a cold reality.
Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Fun one. A little bit longer than normal, but yeah, that's good. Nick, where can people find you if they want to wish you a Merry Christmas?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio. Wish me a Happy New Year. I can't deal with this Christmas shit.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, ChicagoBeerPass.com. All the episodes get posted there. The video version as well. We've been streaming on Periscope. When that works out, when the internet cooperates. Doing live versions as well. So we'll continue that moving into the new year and everything. So take care.
Cheers.